Welcome to Reader's Digest, brought to you by Owl Radio, a community service of the Low Vision Resource Center in San Antonio. I'm John Fisher, and during the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from Reader's Digest. First, from the Genius section, Sharpening Your Mind with Zing, How to Craft a Comeback, from Talib Visram of MentalFloss.com. In a 1997 episode of Seinfeld called The Comeback, George Costanza is merrily stuffing himself with free shrimp at a meeting. His co-worker mocks him. "Hey, George, the ocean called. They're running out of shrimp." George sits there humiliated as laughter fills the room, his mind searching frantically for the perfect riposte. It's only later, on the drive home, that he thinks of the comeback. But the moment has passed. That may have been a good thing, since George's epiphany was, predictably, mediocre. Well, the jerk store called, and they're running out of you. The disappointing experience of thinking of the perfect response too late, l'esprit de l'escalier, or the staircase wit, was identified by French philosopher Denis Diderot. He was so overwhelmed by an argument at a party that he could think clearly again only once he'd gotten to the bottom of the stairs. We've all been there, envying those who are quicker on their feet, so we decided to ask people who rely on witty rejoinders for a living, improv performers, freestyle rappers, and others, how anyone might seize the opportunity for clever retorts in everyday life. Here are their insights. Don't think too much. In improv, the funniest responses occur on the spur of the moment, says Douglas Whitick, a performer who trained with Chicago's Upright Citizens Brigade. Don't worry about crafting the perfect reply. It's about letting go of the need to judge ourselves, says Belina Raffi, CEO of the Berlin-based company Maflick, which uses improv skills in business. Especially if we are operating from the desire to make each other look good, a key tenet of improvisation. Not every riposte will be a gem, but some will hit their mark. Listen before you leap. Still, spend some time considering the argument that your sparring partner is laying out. Your retort may be more accurate and therefore more successful, says Jim Tassone, a business technology executive turned improv coach who developed the Improv Means Business program. Put a few in the bank. Some of history's most skilled comeback artists stored witticisms for later use and were able to pull them out of their memory at the critical time. Winston Churchill was known for his comebacks, but Tim Riley, director and chief curator at the National Churchill Museum in Fulton, Missouri, says that many of his burns were borrowed. One of his most famous lines was in response to a jab from politician Bessie Braddock. "Winston, you are drunk." The Prime Minister replied, "Bessie, my dear, you are ugly, but tomorrow I shall be sober, and you will still be ugly." Riley says a line similar to the above was actually copied from a W.C. Fields movie, which likely lifted it from a dig made by a House of Commons member. Nevertheless, it took quick thinking to pull it out at the right moment. It was an off-the-cuff recall of something he had synthesized, composed earlier, and that he was waiting to perform, Riley says. Don't obsess over a misfire. The high you get from spearing your opponent with a verbal thrust can be shadowed by its opposite, the low that comes from blurting out a lame response. If it doesn't go your way, the rapper ill-spoken advises brushing off your missed opportunity rather than dwelling on your error. It can be toxic to hold on to it, he says. And finally, delays can be fatal. When you are conversing through text or social media, you get a few extra minutes to think through your responses. That could improve the quality of your zinger, but don't deliberate for too long. Replies lose their punch after a day or so. Speed is integral to wit, whether in real life or screen life, says Scott Talen, a social media expert at American University. In fact, some companies have learned to deploy quick-witted social media retorts as a marketing strategy. Wendy's Twitter account has become so well known for its sassy replies that some users try to intentionally provoke it, almost like a battle of the wits. "Bet you won't follow me at Wendy's," a user challenged. "You won that bet," Wendy's immediately shot back. George Costanza also learned that he who hesitates often loses in the comeback game. He meets his shrimp nemesis again at a business meeting and takes the opportunity to use his old "the jerk store called and they're running out of you" line. Too late, the guy already has a comeback for the comeback. "What's the difference?" he asks with a smile. "You're their all-time bestseller." Next from Reader's Digest, expert advice on navigating life's perils, great and small. Here's How to Survive Anything, collected by Jen McCaffrey in Reader's Digest. A shark attack. Your chances of being attacked by a shark aren't great, about 1 in 11.5 million. That said, if you want to avoid being that one, do maintain eye contact. Sharks like to ambush, so turning your back can be a trigger. Try not to let the shark get behind you. Don't create a commotion. Distancing yourself by swimming backwards slowly is a safer bet. Do stay big or go small. If the shark looks aggressive, try to maintain a strong presence. But if it appears to be just swimming by, curling up and not causing a scene could encourage the shark to continue on its merry way. And finally, do aim for the gills or eyes. If a shark is attacking you, hitting these sensitive areas with anything you might have on you, such as a camera or a snorkel mask, could stun the shark temporarily and buy you some time. Being cornered by someone with different political views. When you're married to someone from the world of politics, you socialize with opinionated people. Luckily, my mother, who was Nancy Reagan's social secretary, taught me diplomacy. Anytime somebody's making my blood boil, I wonder what they looked like as an infant. All babies are cute. Then I smile. That from Allie Wentworth, actor, author of Go Ask Allie, and wife of ABC's George Stephanopoulos, a former advisor to Bill Clinton. A blown-out tire. Blowouts are serious business, causing an estimated 75,000 accidents a year and killing more than 400 drivers. If you hear that telltale boom, Firestone suggests taking these actions. Four of them here. Number one, steer straight. Your car might be fishtailing, so get a firm grip on the wheel and do your best to keep the car moving in a straight line. Do not hit the brakes. Number two, gently press the gas. Accelerating slightly can help you regain control and maintain your forward momentum. Ease off the pedal once the car has stabilized. Number three, let the car slow down. A blown tire will act like a parachute and decrease your speed. Put on your emergency lights to alert other drivers. Number four, get off the road. Once your speed falls below 20 miles per hour, you can use the brakes and steering wheel to pull to the side of the road. Then call for help. Next up, a bully in the jury room. It's a Friday afternoon after a long week of deliberations, and you might be tempted to go with the flow of your fellow jurors. There are lots of instances of one or two jurors imposing their will on the entire decision-making process, says Philip Anthony, CEO of the jury consulting firm Decision Quest. But your opinion matters. Too intimidated to voice your views? Write them down on paper. Even if you don't feel comfortable reading them aloud, you can pass the sheet around to the other jurors to make your thoughts known. Asking a woman when she's due and discovering she's not pregnant. Say you're sorry, but be sincere about it. And most important, move on. Continuing to apologize or ramble only makes it worse. Now remember this, never ever utter the word pregnant unless a woman brings it up first. Even if you think it, know it, even if she looks like she's about to give birth today, say nothing unless she mentions it, says Diane Gottsman, owner of the Protocol School of Texas. A pot that is boiling over. Lay a wooden spoon across the mouth of the pot recommends food52.com. It's a website. It's food and then the number 52.com, no spaces. The wood's natural coolness will condense the steam and suppress the bubbles. Getting turned down for a raise. Five tips here. Number one, stay calm. It's human nature to be disappointed, but tamp down the urge to argue. Getting heated with your boss isn't going to help and will just make you look unprofessional. Number two, ask questions. There could be all kinds of reasons your boss said no. It could be purely budgetary rather than about your performance. Learning the true rationale can give you some peace of mind and maybe a plan for the next time around. Number three, request a follow-up. Show your boss you are eager to do what it takes to earn his or her support. Number four, negotiate for something else. While a raise would be nice, there are other benefits that might work better with the company's budget, such as a new title or more vacation time. Number five, start looking for a new situation. If you've done your best to respond to performance feedback and your prospects haven't improved, it may be time to seek a position elsewhere. Next up, a stubbed toe. Smashing your toe can make you see stars, but what should you do if the pain doesn't go away? If you don't think it's broken, you can probably treat it at home. Keep your foot immobile and raised if possible. Ice it every 20 minutes while you're awake for the first 24 hours. Then apply an ice pack 2 or 3 times a day until the pain subsides. When you have to be on the move, stabilize the toe by placing cotton between it and a neighboring toe and taping them together. However, if your toe looks crooked, if the skin is ruptured, or if the injury is to the all-important big toe, seek medical attention as soon as you can. Clogged ears on a flight. There are actually 3 ways to correct the problem, each named after the doctor who developed it. Number one, the Valsalva maneuver. Take a deep breath, pinch both nostrils shut with your fingers, close your mouth, and attempt to exhale through your closed nose. Don't be overzealous with this maneuver, as there is an off chance you could rupture an eardrum. Number two, the Toynbee maneuver. Pinch your nostrils shut and close your mouth while swallowing. This might take a try or two. And number three, the Frenzel maneuver. Pinch your nostrils shut and make a K sound. Next, a bad haircut. New York City-based hairstylist Jeannie Saifu has fixed a lot of bad cuts. The main reason they're bad? The lines aren't properly blended. Here's what you can do until it grows out. Number one, use some product. Run mousse or styling cream through your hair, then slick it down for a sleek look, Saifu says. Number two, break out the styling tools. If you're dexterous enough with a curling iron or wand, a few well-placed waves around your face can soften rough edges. Number three, add accessories. Using a simple ponytail holder or headband can tame your hair and look chic at the same time. Number four, see another stylist. Ask the person to cut your hair when it's dry, since it will fall differently than when it's wet. And number five, invest in some stylish baseball caps. No better time to show some support for your favorite team. Next, an IRS audit. Maybe math isn't your strong suit, or maybe you didn't report all that cash from your second job. Here's the 411 on what to do about those errant 1099s when the tax man or woman comes calling. Don't put your head in the sand. You typically have 30 days to respond to a tax notice before the IRS takes action. Do organize the paperwork the auditor requests. Making the job easier could win you some points. Also, remember that it's your legal responsibility to prove your deductions. Don't forget that you're essentially testifying when you talk to an auditor. Answer questions with a yes or no, and don't comment unless asked. Do make sure your file is complete. Missing some records? That's no excuse. Order duplicates. Don't cop an attitude. Auditors have a job to do, and having a chip on your shoulder won't help your case. Do know your rights. If you don't agree with the outcome, you can appeal. It also might be wise to talk with a professional tax lawyer. Targeted advertising. Yes, you were looking at those expensive sneakers online. Next thing you know, ads for them are showing up in your browser, on your favorite news sites, hounding you to buy. Companies collect information about the site you visit by using quote-unquote cookies, digital evidence that you are interested in their product, and then share your preferences with marketers. Clicking on the small X in the upper right of an ad will make it go away for the moment, but there are some longer-lasting fixes, according to the New York Times, and here are five of them. Number one, clear your cookies. Apple, Google, and Microsoft all provide instructions on how to remove cookies from popular browsers, such as Safari and Chrome. Number two, reset your advertising ID. Your Apple or Android phone assigns you an advertising ID to help marketers track you. You can find the reset button on an Android device inside the Google Settings app. On the iPhone, the reset button is located under Settings in the Privacy menu under Advertising. Number three, purge your ad history. Go to myactivity.google.com to find out what data Google has stored about you and delete what you want to get rid of. Number four, install an ad blocker. For browsers, try uBlock Origin. On the iPhone, you can try OneBlocker X. Note that Android users can block ads only by using a private browser, as Google banned ad blockers from its Play Store. Number five, use a private browser on mobile devices. Try Firefox Focus, DuckDuckGo, that's all one word by the way, or Ghostery Privacy Browser, all of which have built-in ad and tracker blocking. Biting the inside of your mouth. Four tips here. Number one, rinse carefully. A swig of water will help get rid of any food that might irritate that cut. Number two, apply pressure. Use gauze or a washcloth to staunch any bleeding. Number three, numb the pain by holding something cold against the wound, popsicles, for example. And number four, keep rinsing with warm, salty water. Do it twice a day to help the wound heal, which will take 3 to 4 days. Next, always losing your keys. There are four tips here. Number one, focus. Wandering from room to room in a frenzy doesn't allow for a thorough search. Finish searching one area before moving to the next. Number two, seek out clutter. If your keys were in plain view, you probably would have found them already. Research has shown that we waste a lot of time looking in obvious places. Number three, retrace your steps. Form a mental picture of where you were the last time you remember having your keys. The time of day, who else was there, what you were doing, etc., recommends Irene Kahn, a professor of psychology at Villanova University. This is called context reinstatement. And number four, for the next time, make a plan. Go low-tech by setting up a designated place for your keys and use it every day. Or try a Bluetooth-enabled tracking device such as Tile or TrackR. Attach the fob to your keychain and then use your phone to make it ring to locate your lost keys. Next up, a persistent telemarketer. Don't hang up right away. The telemarketer will just call back until you actually talk to him or her. Don't engage with the telemarketer in any way by asking questions or explaining why you're not interested in the product. Do be polite. If the telemarketer is being rude, ask to speak to a supervisor. Don't Say, "This isn't a good time." That will only encourage the telemarketer to call back at another time. Do, ask to be put on the company's Do Not Call list. And also do, sign up for the National Do Not Call Registry at donotcall.gov. That's all one word, donotcall.gov. Bonus tip, if a telemarketer calls you by name, just say, "Sorry, wrong number." The company will likely take you off the calling list because they'll think the information profile is wrong. An awkward family gathering. Making a game plan before you arrive can help you brave the prickliest of relatives, according to Holly Brown, a family therapist based in Alameda, California. Here's how, and five tips here. Number one, think through the impending awkwardness. Where does it come from? Is it boredom, or does the enforced familiarity somehow push your buttons? If you're prepared for the trigger, you can better diffuse it. Number two, consider the clock. How long do you have to stay? Can you just say a quick hello? Knowing you'll be miserable for a finite period can help. Number three, distract yourself. Plan ways to chill out a little, such as taking a breather in a quiet place or keeping yourself busy with putting out food or cleaning up. Number four, prepare a script. Be ready to handle awkward run-ins with an, "Excuse me, I just saw Tom. I have to ask him something quickly." Or a nice, "It was good to see you," and move on. Number five, enlist an ally. Have a trusted backup you can signal when Uncle Joe corners you and starts asking for a loan. Next up, an overflowing toilet. The high water toilet bowl is an ominous sight, but no need to call a plumber, just yet anyway. Here's what Family Handyman magazine recommends. Five tips here, plus a bonus. Number one, stop flushing. Yes, the rising water is cause for concern, but more flushing could cause it to flood. Instead, wait 10 minutes for the water level to drop. Number two, if it doesn't, remove the tank lid and lift the chain on the rubber flapper valve slightly to let a cup or two of water into the bowl to see whether that lowers the water level. Number three, failing that, bring in the plunger, preferably a model with an extension flange, which fits toilets better than the one with a bell-shaped end. You could pull a woodchuck from a hole with a toilet plunger with an extension flange, according to Family Handyman. Number four, pull on a pair of rubber gloves. Make your first plunge a gentle one because the bell is full of air and you don't want to blow water all over. Once you've created a seal, you can plunge harder. Number five, clog still stubborn? Feed a toilet snake down the pipe to snag the clog and try to break it up. Bonus tip, no tools handy. Try pouring in half a cup of hot water and some shampoo or dish soap. Let it sit for about 30 minutes and then see whether the clog dissolves. Should be a while before you need this next one, frostbite. Not bundling up enough in extreme temperatures can lead to trouble, especially if it's windy. The first signs of frostbite are often redness and tingling in the toes, fingers, nose, or ears. As the inner layers of tissue start to freeze, the skin becomes numb and hard. People with poor circulation are especially at risk. If you think you've been affected but can't get to a doctor, follow these four directions. Number one, immerse the skin in warm water. You want the water to be between 100 and 108 degrees Fahrenheit. The tissue should thaw in 15 to 30 minutes. If you don't have a thermometer, you can test the water with an uninjured part of your body to make sure it's warm, but not too hot to stay immersed in. Number two, be gentle. You will likely experience swelling, blisters, and severe pain, all signs that the skin is warming up. Air dry the area. Don't towel dry or rub. Number three, dress the wound. Coat one side of a cotton bandage or a piece of gauze with antibiotic cream such as Silvadine or Neosporin. Attach it loosely to avoid restricting blood flow. Number four, take pain medication. Ibuprofen will reduce pain and inflammation. Passing gas in public. If it's obvious you are the offender, a simple "pardon me" is all you need to say. No one is interested in a lengthy explanation of what you had for lunch that afternoon, says Thomas P. Farley, a.k.a. Mr. Manners. A tornado. According to FEMA, 2/3 of U.S. households have no plan for responding to a natural disaster. Here are 3 tips about what to do to prepare and stay safe, plus a bonus. Number 1, assemble an emergency kit. Include at least 1 gallon of water per person and non-perishable food for 3 days. A battery-powered or hand-cranked radio, a flashlight, a first aid kit, cell phone batteries and chargers, and a whistle. Establish a communication plan with your loved ones. Number 2, in the event of a tornado, head for the lowest level of your house and stay in the middle of the room, away from the windows. Cover yourself with a mattress, sleeping bag, or blanket to shield yourself from debris. Number 3, if you're in a building with an elevator, don't use it. Take the stairs to the lowest floor. Bonus tip, FEMA has a free app that provides alerts from the National Weather Service, a list of places to shelter, and disaster plans. You can download it at FEMA.gov/mobile app. That's FEMA.gov/mobile-app. Getting bumped from a flight. An overbooked flight can be a hassle, but it can also have its rewards. Here's what you need to know, says Hendrik Zilmer, CEO of Passenger Assistance at AirHelp.com. Only 2 tips here. Number 1, airlines must rebook you and pay you if you will be significantly delayed. The maximum is $1,350 if you arrive at your destination more than 2 hours later than planned. That's 4 hours also, by the way, for international flights. Number 2, you don't have to accept a flight voucher. The U.S. Department of Transportation requires that airlines provide compensation in cash, although in some cases you may have to file a claim. Keep in mind that compensation is only for involuntary removals. The compensation for voluntarily giving up your seat is negotiable. And finally, the end of civilization. Preppers, aka survivalists, who are passionate about preparing for disaster, have a secret code all their own. GOOD, that's G-O-O-D, get out of Dodge, similar to bug out, which means to evacuate your home. BOV, for bug out vehicle, the car, bus, van, motorhome, or bike you will use to get away from the emergency, or the GOOD, that's, you remember, get out of Dodge, B-O-V. Golden Horde, the masses of panicked people who are moving in on the area you are bugging out to. Then there's GDE, or Grid Down Event, a large-scale shutdown of the electrical grid, also called an off-the-grid event, or OTG, O-T-G-E. Inch Bag, stands for I'm Never Coming Home Bag. Teotwaki, the end of the world as we know it. Yeah, the initials, T-E-O-T-W-A-W-K-I. A massive disaster, like catastrophe or cataclysm, that will alter the way survivors lived afterward. That's Teotwaki. And then Yo-Yo, you're on your own. Self-explanatory. And that'll do for this edition of Reader's Digest. Thank you for listening. If you have questions or comments about the program, please call us at 210-829-4223. This program is replayed after 9 o'clock in the evening. This is John Fisher saying goodbye from Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center in San Antonio.